Hello and welcome in to Jayhawk Talk Radio. I am Kevin Meckley. Andrew Payne is across from me here. Our dude Kyle behind the glass, mashing on the buttons, making sure we don't say profanities like horns down.
Kevin, you cannot what? Say that
can
on the radio.
That? We can't say
you
that.
Can't say that.
You
on
can't
the
say horns down.
Kyle, you gotta beep him. Got
you ready to beep him, Kyle? Thank you. Get the sound effect for HD. HD. We got a huge show.
HD word.
HD word. Don't say the HD word. We got a huge show tonight. We got CBS's Matt Norlander on the show, Andrew. We got Jayhawk Radio's Greg Gurley coming off a up and down week for the Hawks and a pretty dang big week coming up. I can't wait to get into this. Andrew, give the folks at home what we got coming.
You know, Kevin, it's good to be here talking about our favorite thing, the Kansas Jayhawks. All right, a couple of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Oklahoma State win last night. Great win. Great win for the Jayhawks. Overcame some adversity. Kevin McCullough didn't play. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about football?
Hmm?
Jayhawk football?
Hmm?
Are we a football school now?
Huh?
Are the Jayhawks a football school? We're going to talk a little bit about the stadium, about the upcoming schedule. We got to talk. I mean, it's in the news.
It's in the news.
It's hot. It's hot in the streets. We're going to go talk to Norlander. We're going to talk about some Spygate.
I can't wait for that.
Spying in the Big 12.
I can't wait
for
that.
You know, the Big 12 has been so good, but it needs some extra juice.
Yes.
What does it need? It needs a spying scandal.
I can't wait for that.
Needs a spying scandal. We're going to obviously preview these next couple games with Houston on Saturday and K-State on Monday. We're going to do a little look ahead, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the HD word.
You can't say that on the radio.
You cannot, and that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to
if anybody
straighten
knows,
everybody out.
Yeah, just make sure that people know at home. You can't say HD on the radio.
All right, Kevin, let's talk about the Oklahoma State game. I was there in the field house last night. It was, I wouldn't say it was like the most electric game until they showed the Chiefs' offensive line on the board. And then it became a party. Then it was off the charts. That was the them doing the swag surfing in the aisle. I don't know if they showed that on TV, but it got everybody on their feet. I totally forgot about the swag surfing dance. Apparently it's a thing again.
It's a thing.
It was like cool 15 years ago, and now apparently it's back. And,
here we are.
And I'm into it now because watching them do that in the student section aisles really got me going. And it got the Jayhawk fans going, got the Jacks going last night. Cruised to a 29-point win.
Yeah, so obviously the story of the game is McCullough, and we'll get to that. But setting aside McCullough not playing, 83-54, Hunter Dickinson does his thing, gets his double-double. K.J. Adams played great, 16 points. Most importantly, three great dunks.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I just need those dunks, man. And one of those was from beyond half court, alley-oop delivery from Juan. That was,
you know, they tried it twice. The first time, Dwan threw that half-court lob, and a little high.
It's okay.
A little off.
We learned.
And Bill, his face, disgust. Why would you do that? But Wando, Dwan Harris, didn't listen to that. He did it again, and he executed. So it's only a problem if you don't
if it doesn't work.
And they nailed it the second time, and it was great.
It's all that matters. Speaking of Dwan, he had a nice game, too. 12 points, 7 assists, looked a little bit more comfortable out there. Did some scoring, which is nice to see. And overall, you know, I think a really solid game. I think Oklahoma State might just be really bad.
They're the only bad team. I mean, even West Virginia and UCF are going to finish at the bottom. We've lost to those teams, but they're going to finish at the bottom. But they're not bad teams.
Not bad teams.
They're all right.
Yeah, any other year, they'd be probably middle of the Big 12. It is it's just an insane conference. I mean, that's the one thing we know. We'll talk a little bit more about the Big 12 coming up in the show, but it is it was nice to see, first of all, McCullough get some rest because it sounds like he needed it.
He needed it, N-E-E needed it. A little bone bruise,
mm-hmm.
a little something. Looks like if it was Baylor, if it was Houston, if it was K-State, he would have played. But if you're going to get a week off, this is probably one that he can take. And obviously, it was probably good for the team, too. And we'll get into that, if you know, what lessons that we can learn from this team.
So I was doing a pregame spaces, Andrew. I'm going to start doing these more And the whole point of the Spaces was, and this is a show on Twitter if you're not familiar with Spaces. Or
are you talking about the social media platform known as X?
Yeah, whatever it's called now. Yeah, Twitter X. And we're doing the show, and the show essentially is this. What are you betting on tonight? Like, that was the show.
That's good.
And which was actually kind of fun as we were sitting there talking about all the various prop bets that, you know, KU prop bets, which is always a ton of fun to bet on. It started leaking out that, oh, Kevin McCullough's not on the floor. McCullough's not on the floor. He's not on the shoot around. He wasn't in the first shoot around. Now we're in the next shoot around. He's not on the floor. And all the props are still up. And all the lines are still up. And they haven't moved. So we all, thinking we're all super, super sharp, are like, we got to go bet Furphy. We got to just load up on Furphy. Furphy's going off tonight.
Insider
no
info.
McCullough. No one's moved it yet. The lines haven't moved. They haven't been touched.
Knowing you and knowing our conversation from last week, you probably went pretty heavy on Furphy.
I was a big Furphy guy.
What was the line? What
12.5 points.
Oh, and he got 11.
12.5 points and over 1.5 threes.
Johnny.
And he makes the first half three, and everyone's like, all right, we're still alive, still alive,
Johnny.
Still alive. And then Nick Timberlake shoots like 14 threes and
five.
Just clanks them all. And meanwhile, Furphy's just running his rear end off, playing his rear end off, playing his HD off out there, and we cannot get him another three-pointer. What is what it is. This is the perils of sports betting. But still a great game. Johnny actually played really well.
He did.
And I thought he was really active. All the guys played pretty active. Hunter just kind of had a so-so game, just kind of a,
yeah,
you know,
16
for him.
And 11.
I know.
Any other player who gets 16 and 11, the Bill Self era, is like, wow.
You that thought, though, this could be a game where he just goes bananas.
Didn't need to.
He got some rest.
He played under 30 minutes for the first time in
forever. I'm going to give you – this is one of my favorite statistical things. And you know me, big stat guy, especially math. Big math guy.
You're super into math.
I love single game plus minus.
Because it tells you so much.
It tells you so much.
Right.
I have this whole bit about single game plus minus is really important. In the end, it's not important at all. It's really a dumb stat. But it is fun, interesting to look at. And can I tell you, Andrew, who the number one player last night for the Kansas Jayhawks was on a single game plus minus? If you're curious what plus minus is, it is when you're on the court, the difference between you and the other team while you're on that court.
Is it Michael Jankovic?
It is not Michael Jankovic.
Oh.
That is a good guess. Not Michael Jankovic. I'll give you two more guesses.
So I'm still guessing.
Yes. I'll give you a hint. Plus 30 was the number.
Plus,
and this was the highest.
30? Oh, my. Plus 30 is a
plus
lot.
Plus 30 in a game.
I mean, we won
in
by
the Big
29.
12.
I gotta read into your mind here. You're asking me for a reason because it's a weird answer. Is it Nick Timberlake?
It is not Nick Timberlake. Okay. He was plus 22.
Wow. Is it Johnny Furphy?
It is Johnny Furphy.
Johnny Furphy.
Johnny Furphy, plus 30. I say this only to say that Johnny Furphy is the revelation.
Yes.
he is him. We remain the Johnny Furphy show, and I see no reason to change that. He goes 4 for 7 from the field. He gets 6 boards, 2 assists, no turnovers, 11 points. Sadly, 11 points. Only gets 7 shots up. Only gets 3 threes up. It was a sad deal for the bettors, but he still played really good.
Well, let's talk about Kevin McCullough and
what
this team looks like. So it looks like Kevin McCullough is going to play on Saturday. They're just giving him a little extra time to get that knee healed up. But this team, starts Elmarco Jackson in his stead. And I really want to get into, do we learn anything about this team without its star, without its, top one or two players, potential first team All-American? Did we learn anything? And I just want to throw it out there. Maybe, just maybe, I know he's a first-team All-American candidate.
Uh-oh.
Should we not have so much Kevin McCullough hero ball? Maybe the ball moving around a lot is a good thing.
I had this idea for a tweet last night. Again, it's a tweet. We're going to call it a tweet.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes. If I call it an X, no one's going to understand it. You know, a tweet, everyone understands. Kyle agrees. He's nodding his head. I had this idea for a tweet that I chickened out. But I'll just say it on the radio because whatever. The idea was the meme of it's me Hi.
I'm the problem.
I'm the problem. It's me. And it was going to be Kevin McCullough because we're up by 30 points and he's not playing. As a joke, right?
Yeah,
and then I knew people would be like,
you
and Kevin McCullough? And like, no, I don't. It's a joke.
You would not be treated well.
I know. But it was a funny bit.
Kevin
and on
the
radio,
the
I can explain it.
But that doesn't mean we can't look to what we learned.
It's me.
I like Kevin McCullough's probably the best defender on the team. Doesn't get the credit for that. That's always been his calling card.
It's great.
But maybe the Kevin McCullough bullying himself, like Jalen Wilson, doing the Jalen Wilson bullying himself
and
trying to get fouled.
I'm with you.
Maybe less of that and more.
If his numbers looked like Jalen Wilson's, I would agree with you. He's been much more efficient than Jalen Wilson.
Until the past two games. And it could be product of the injury.
Could be. Or it could be efficiency catching up.
I feel better about some of these other players, though. Marco Jackson.
He played great.
You feel better about him after last
This was the best case scenario for the bench. I mean, setting aside Nick Timberlake, I think especially for El Marco, he got a ton of play, a ton of run, and he played really well. Saw the ball go in the basket, was really solid. I think this was good for him. We're going to need these guys. Like, at the end of the day, like, they have to not suck. Like, they have to be solid. And this was a good run for him. You see the potential in there. Like, he could be really good.
Yeah, so he plays 26 minutes. You know, he gets the start. He goes 4 of 8 from the field and 2 of 2 from 3.
Yeah.
Marco Jackson, did he pass the test?
Yeah,
I think he passed the test.
Absolutely.
Nick Timberlake.
Oh, boy.
Gets some run. Also plays 25 minutes, 7 points, 2 for 8 from the field, 1 from 5 from 3.
He was active. He was active.
And 6 rebounds.
He was active on the court. He was playing hard.
The test that El Marco
was
offered.
He's not there for that, though.
He did not pass like El Marco did.
His entire reason for existing on this basketball team is to make three-pointers. Am I wrong? That is why he is here. Is there any other reason why you go get a career 40-plus three-point shooter, volume three-point shooter, like that? He plays that role. He was to play that role for KU.
All right, so
he's sneaky athletic. He's good. He's active. He's all those things.
It can't be that way if he's shooting 27%.
But you can be sneaky athletic and really hard playing at a smaller level school. That doesn't translate all the time. Like, you just become an average athletic person. You need to make threes. You're there.
Yep. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Kevin McCullough is going to come out and play against Houston. Anything you want to see from him? Any lessons we can learn putting the offense back together?
I want him to be healthy.
There you go.
I want him to be healthy.
That's it.
Give me health.
All right, everybody. We are going to take a little bit break from basketball.
Mm.
We're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk football. How about that?
Football?
Football on the Jayhawk Talk Radio, and that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's been a long day.
Welcome back in.
Without you, my friend.
Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I don't know if, Andrew, you saw Memorial Stadium. It's no longer there.
I saw it last night. It's just
rubble.
It's just a rotting skeleton in the earth.
It is. And today,
This is it. This was what did it for me.
Let this run for just a second. We saw the scoreboard come down. The scoreboard that always has like 2 or 3 pixels just a little off.
Yeah, and then probably doesn't work for one game.
Mostly doesn't work. I watched very important things happen on that scoreboard, Andrew. Let me tell you one. Watch the KU-Syracuse basketball game.
Oh, wow.
Saw that live. Michael Lee was in the house. Outfield House. Side story. Michael Lee backed in Outfield House. Seen lots of bad replays on there.
I've booed a lot of referees after seeing pass interference calls.
Yeah.
On that one. I graduated in that building.
Same here.
Now the booth is gone.
It's gone.
But
it's gone.
Coming back.
The good news is it's coming back.
It's coming back sometime.
Some point.
When I see you again.
When I see you again,
when
Booth.
When I see you again.
Well, look, we've got, first of all, let's just talk about this. Football school.
Football school.
So that's good.
I mean, when you think of the Kansas Jayhawks now, you're thinking of the pigskin. You're thinking of the oblong
I don't know
ball.
Who isn't.
Yeah, it's we're
football. I'm going to start
school.
This conversation off. We're going to talk football,
Kevin,
this whole segment.
Guaranteed rape bowl champions.
That's a good point. Yeah, you just call us the champs until further
champs
notice.
Champs are here.
I got a question for you, and this is a, and we're going to let Kyle chime in on this too. So Kyle, listen in on this. What is the better chances of happening? KU this year, this college basketball season, finishing in the top three in the Big 12, or KU football next year finishing in the top three of the Big 12?
Wow. If you had to handicap that,
I'm gonna you're probably gonna get a little better odds.
Will
on football?
You Ken Pom?
That's what I'm saying.
Who's a fraud?
Who's a fraud?
Predicts KU to finish tied for sixth in the Big 12.
That's
right
why. That's why I'm asking
this
question.
Fraud. We're going to go through the schedule, Kevin. It's a tasty schedule.
It's a tasty schedule. If you're looking at the schedule now, again, take that into account. We play one team who is in the preseason top 25.
Way too early, top 25,
and that's K-State.
One. Well, we're going to win that game.
And we'll win that game, obviously.
We're due.
We're very due. So what's your answer?
I still would, if I was a betting man, I would still probably take the basketball team, but it's very, very,
I think it's
a
reasonable
close.
Conversation. Kyle, what do you got?
I'm going football.
Okay,
wow,
there you go.
Yeah,
strictly because of the next couple of weeks for Kansas basketball, their schedule looks daunting.
It's very tough.
See?
Very tough.
Oh, my.
I just wanted to pose the question. I'm going to play book here, and I'll let you guys know who wins.
Well, yeah, we got it. Well, I mean, it's going to be an interesting season because the booth is gone. It will be gone for the 2024 season. And we'll have some new locations. It was announced yesterday, alongside the schedule, that the first two games, the first two home games, will be played at Children's Mercy Park, up there by the Legends, up there by the racetrack.
Yeah, and so then, a short drive from Lawrence.
Yeah,
very short drive.
Yeah, and then the last four All Big 12 games will be played at Arrowhead. So different feels. A couple things that I know about Children's Mercy Park. Capacity may be a thing we're fighting against here.
It's going to be tight.
From my information, and I've been there, and I've seen it, when it's full, it's fun. It looks great. 21,000.
It's going to be full.
21,000.
21,000 fans. First of all, 21,000 fans, pretty loud. Like, it can be a fun place to play football. I think it could actually be a lot of fun, but you got 20,000, 30,000, maybe plus more fans who are not there.
Yeah. Students aren't going to be potentially left out. Theoretically,
they're
a lot are going to drive, probably bust in. That's going to be different. For me, as a resident of Overland Park, kind of convenient.
Kind of nice, actually.
Nice.
Right down the road.
Yeah.
But we got to go, right, first of all. So I think there's a lot of people out there who are like, I got to go. I'll be there. But a lot of people are going to be there. So I don't know how tickets are going to work. We haven't quite figured all that out yet. And the season ticket holders will probably get some first dibs. But even then, like, there's more than 21,000 season ticket holders.
I don't know if there are. There might
it's
be.
Probably close.
But I'm wondering how they're going to do season tickets. It's not going to be like select a seat. Maybe it is.
Maybe
select
it
your
is.
Two seats. For one for Arrowhead, one for
the aftermarket value. Will be
have not received that email yet on how that's going to work. But
that's because you don't give enough. You're probably a little lower down the list.
When you give enough, they call you and ask you. I get the email.
You want two or four seats, Mr. Payne?
Well, it's in the last four going to be at Arrowhead with potential to really bring in some crowds.
Could be fun.
With some of the teams. That
we're playing. Let's run through the schedule. We don't spend a lot of time here, but Lindenwood at Children's Mercy. Then we go at Illinois, which we played last year, won that game. Should be a fun one.
And then we're coming back to Children's Mercy. We got to come up with a name for that. The Merc. See, Merc?
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I don't watch enough SKC to know if there's a nickname for it. But
there
we
probably
can come up
is.
With,
is.
We can come up with our own.
Kyle's shaking his head.
No? All right, can...
Do you just call it CMP?
I'd go with that.
CMP?
It's real nice and quick.
CMP.
Okay.
Just like the victories for the SKC.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll work on that. We're gonna workshop it.
Yeah, he's going to workshop that for sure.
And then that game is UNLV. So that's probably the one that's marquee game.
Could be fun.
Marquee game, because this is who we played in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Champions.
And maybe they should have flipped that. Go to Vegas this year, come back for when the booth is open. didn't work out. There we go. At West Virginia, always tough to go into Morgantown, no matter what it is. If you're, you know, shooting dice and you have to go into Morgantown, there's going to be a home field advantage in Morgantown.
I still don't see a loss in the schedule.
Then we go Arrowhead. First Arrowhead game, TCU.
Could be fun.
Big one against the Horned Frogs. At Arizona State. This is a little fall trip to Phoenix.
That'd be kind of fun.
The weather's getting a little cold. Let's go take a little trip
Pretty
to
good
Phoenix,
scenery out
Tempe.
There.
Maybe hang out in Scottsdale a little bit. Back home to home Arrowhead. That's right. Biggest home field advantage. Houston. We play Houston at Arrowhead. Potentially be a big game. New coach, but still don't see a loss there. Then we go to K-State. They're the only preseason with the preseason way too early polls that we've seen that are ranked. They're currently 21.
Game day. Game day in Manhattan for this game.
Probably.
Game day in Manhattan for this game.
And
call that now.
And we're due.
Yeah.
We're due to win that game.
We're due for that one. We're going to win that one.
Iowa State at Arrowhead.
Now, this is going to be the madhouse. I work in Iowa. I go to Iowa. I was there yesterday. And I walked through. I had my KU little Q-zip on like you do, and one of the sales guys yells at me from across the room, did you see the schedule, Kevin? And I turn around, like I'm completely ignoring him. Kevin, did you see the schedule? And I just do the whole like flip the bird from behind my head as I'm walking by thing, just like I acknowledge you, but I don't want to talk about
it. HD.
I gave him a little HD. It's a little HD. He goes, Arrowhead. And then like 10 other guys come out realizing what's going on. I'm like, we're there. We're all going. Like, we're all going to Arrowhead. Like, all of us are, like, everyone I know is going to Arrowhead. Every Iowa State fan under the sun is going to make that trip down. I'm dead serious. It might be 50-50. It is going to be stupid. Unless KU is just, like, literally undefeated, Iowa State fans are going to flock to that game. It's going to be annoying. I'm telling you. Right now.
Well, I'll be there.
I'm sure. Me too.
I'll be there. So that's a challenge to everybody out there. I think you got to make your
got to
get your tickets.
Don't let the Iowa State fans take
at BYU.
Let's go.
First time to go to Provo.
I'm ready to go.
You look like a big Provo guy.
I'm a big Provo guy.
Big Provo guy over here. Then we come home for Colorado.
Also fun.
Coach Prime coming into Arrowhead.
It's a lot of fun stories.
A lot of history there. There's probably some Deion Sanders old history in Arrowhead.
This is fun.
I don't know. I bet that one will be pretty full too. I mean, it's just an easy flight over or drive over on I-70 for the Buffalo fans. And then we finish at Baylor.
Which won't matter that much because we'll already have the Big 12 locked up at that point.
So here's we may not be the best team in the Big 12, but here's why we can make the case, okay? We avoid Arizona, who is currently number 9 in the way too early poll.
Mm-hmm.
Utah, remember they're in our...
I do remember
they're,
that.
They're in the conference now. 13 in the poll. And Oklahoma State, 18.
The three best teams, at least by ranking, way too early.
We avoid. This smells a lot like 2007.
It feels a little like 07. I agree.
Where you miss Texas, you miss OU, yeah, lose one to Mizzou, but then you have enough to get to the Orange Bowl and get the victory there. This smells a lot like we've been here before. We've seen this movie before. Kevin, I'm so excited for football.
I will be honest with you. I don't think I've ever had expectations higher for a football season, which is terrifying. Terrifying.
What about going into 08? So Todd Reesing's junior year.
Higher. Higher.
You're higher now.
Higher. Higher. Think about it. We return 8 of 11 starters on offense, including all 3 of our really solid wide receivers, an all Big 12 running back, and the alleged preseason offensive player of the year. I'm just going to start there. We're going to start there.
Kobe Bryant?
And then you got some
Melo
dudes
Dotson?
On defense. Oh. I mean, first of all, huge props to Leipold and the squad for keeping these guys here. Because they could have gone and got more money elsewhere. They could have. Now, I'm sure they're doing well. Most of them are doing well in NIL. But they could have probably got more elsewhere, and they stayed here, stayed through it. I think they recognize this could be a special season. I love this. Love it.
All right, we lose Andy Kotelnicki. The Jayhawks lose their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki.
Did you see the UNLV game? Did you see the guaranteed rate bowl?
Didn't need him.
We didn't need him.
Bring in Jeff Grimes. This is a 2-time Broyles Award finalist. This is the top assistant in the country, Kevin.
About that?
So I'm feeling good about this offense. I think the players on the offense are feeling good about the offense. Defense has come a long way.
This could be a lot of fun.
All right, prediction. Before we get out of here, before we go to break, what are you feeling about football?
Let's just say I today said that the over-under in wins is 9.
Wow.
Because I think it will be,
that's
by the way.
That's an outrageous number.
If it's 8.5, it's going to get pounded
up. It's tough not to take it.
Would you take over 9? Like, the number is 9.
So you'd have to get 10
to
make any money.
To win money.
It feels outrageous for me to say this out loud.
It feels outrageous.
That might be the bet.
If it's 8.5, the money will come in on KU to go over, and it will end up at, like, either crazy juice or 9.
Wow.
I think that's right. Tell me. Kyle's nodding. He knows.
Wow.
I think it's 9.
This is just a foreign concept.
It doesn't make sense. I know. It doesn't compute. I get it.
We got to get used to this because we're a football school now.
We're a football school.
Football school. All right. After the break, we've got Matt Norlander from CBS.
Look,
Matt's
going to
tell us a lot about Big 12. Talk about national stories and, of course, our Jayhawks. So that's coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio. Kevin Meckley here with Andrew Payne. We got Kyle behind the glass making sure we don't say profanities like horns down.
Sorry.
Horns down?
HD.
HD. All right.
HD. Even HD like makes me feel a little queasy.
It hurts. Listen, I know tonight you might have to go home and pray a little bit about that. do whatever God, you know, you pray to. Our guy Matt Norlander got pulled away for something, so he's going to join us hopefully here in a little bit. We're going to jump to our next segment, which I can't be more excited about. And that, Andrew, is how hot it is for spying. How hot spying is in college hoops.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now.
This is what we needed in the Big 12. We needed a scandal. A controversy, you know, we basically needed a QAnon for college basketball, and that's what we're getting. We needed, like, an elaborate storyline.
It kind of feels like
it. Yeah, that people could talk about on Twitter and invent all of these, like, interconnections between, I saw this person, and this person's related to this, and they're typing on the computer here, and it's shooting this, and then they got the information, and then they stopped us on the next play. It's an incredible story, and you know, just to go back to it, and none of this is confirmed. None of this is probably real. But this is what happened.
Some people think
that last week during the Iowa State K-State game, this is in Ames, Iowa, there was a kerfuffle. I think that's what they would call it.
Sure,
where. Jerome Tang left the coach's box, and was kind of given TJ Otzelberger, Teej, as we call him, giving him the business a little bit during the game. He could have been teed up for that. That's an interesting move to leave the box and to go over to the other team's bench and give him a piece of his mind. No one knew what it was. It was just kind of Jerome Tang's being kind of weird
again. Being a weird guy again.
But after the game, it continued. It continued a little bit, and he stopped in the handshake line, and he kind of kept giving him the business.
Teej
was kind of blowing him off, as you would do in that situation. So good on Teej for just kind of, all right, well, I got to listen to what this guy has to say for a moment, and then I'm going to walk away.
Listen, Mother H. Deer.
Walk off the court. It's just weird. It's like, okay.
It was weird.
That was weird. I don't think anyone would have made anything of it other than the deep, dark trenches of Twitter. But it resumed. Casey Starr reported that the impetus for this was an accusation that someone behind the Iowa State bench was filming or at least using some sort of device, maybe even just their ears, I don't know, to listen in on the huddle for K-State and then relay that somehow over to the bench for then Teej to implement whatever information is digested and then put into the play. Sounds outrageous to me. And then this goes kind of viral a little bit, reported by Matt Norlander on CBS, and enough to where Teej has to have. I mean, he's probably holding his normal press conference, but he has to address it. He's like, this is ridiculous.
So
he denies it, but it's just,
there was so much that happened in that game. First of all, because the technical foul preceded all this, and the technical foul, because he was already hot. And by the way, the reffing in that game was a little one-sided. It was a little Hilton-esque. It wasn't great. They did not get a great whistle. Whatever. Like, deal with it. But he goes absolutely berserk, gets the tee. By the way, I probably didn't deserve it, foul.
Probably not.
But
yeah.
He goes
they
berserk,
missed it. Yeah,
gets
the
technical,
it.
And you lose the game basically because of the technical. Like, there was no coming back after that. It was a close enough game. They might have been able to hold on. You get four free throws or whatever.
It
was over. So he already had screwed the pooch on that. Like, it was that is directly from Jerome Tang. It was a dumb, dumb move. And I think he would acknowledge it was a dumb, dumb move. But he was so worked up about this other thing. And reported by reporters who, again, are not reporting the facts. They are reporting what K-State folks think. Like that, so people going on and saying, like, the Casey Starr reports. No. They didn't report that. They reported why the frame of mind, the state of mind was such that it was by the K-State staff, who were calling them mother HDing cheaters. Right? Like, that is, like, the quote, other than the HDers part. And, like, calling them purely cheaters. Now, let's think about this logistically. I just want to back up, like, just a couple minutes. How does one record any, first of all, record a huddle from wherever you are? You can be in the huddle, for all I care. And then transmit that data, that information, to the other huddle in time for anything to matter. And even if they did, let's just think again about what they're going to say. Make sure you rebound. Like, hustle on this play. And they draw up a play. There's no way they can get that drawn up. That. And by the way, most of these plays don't have one option. They have multiple options. So even if they said, hey, this ball is going here, whatever. Yeah. They already know the ball's probably going there. Like, it just, and they, by the way, they know every K-State play. They know every K-State play. They know every single play you're running. Why? Because you don't run that much offense in the first place, and they have the ability to watch tape, right? They understand what you're trying to do. So the whole thing was just absolutely bonkers to me. Like, I could not grasp how anyone in their right mind, and again, right mind, this is the problem, I think, could possibly think that this was a real cheating scandal.
What we're missing here is the Zapruder film. Every good conspiracy needs just a tiny shred of evidence that you can gleam onto and say, hey, look, the problem is that this whole game, I don't know if you know this, they televise games, and there are video cameras literally everywhere. This game was on ESPN.
It was on ESPN. I watched it.
Did you know that?
I was watching it live. It was highly entertaining.
The game was on ESPN. Not even ESPN Plus, where they have like two cameras. This was real ESPN with 400 cameras, and then no one. If there was something, if there was, and this is not necessarily speaking for any side of the university or the team. This is on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
These accusations are coming.
X.
Excuse me. X. There would be some sort of film that they go, hey, look here. They circle this guy. Then they, like, oh, she's typing over here. It's relaying over here.
You say that. But they, K-State Twitter was doing all the research. Hey, do your research.
Yeah, you don't even know. You got to do your research, Kevin.
They were doing their research. I mean, I'm telling you, they believed their dude. And even so, again, I just have to ask the question. Let's assume fully that indeed they were recording everything. What possibly? And again, all my friends at Iowa State, they're like, ain't no Wi-Fi in there. You can't get any texts. No texts go through out there. Even if there's Wi-Fi, that Wi-Fi don't work. There's no way they don't just, like, you could logistically just never make this matter. And you could talk about it, oh, well, maybe they're recording it for, like, the next game. Yeah, everything's on tape. Everything's on tape. There's nothing they could possibly say in that huddle that would make any difference whatsoever in this game. It was just baffling.
You gotta
and so
have
much
your team
fun.
Ready, and I think that was a distraction that allowed him not to have his team ready.
Let's talk about distraction, because I want to tell you one thing. Since that moment, that moment. K-State has been outscored 159 to 110 and lost three straight.
They were leading at that moment, at that exact moment before they lost that
Jerome
game.
Jerome Tang has accused Iowa State of cheating, got a technical, attacked officials in the next game, brandished a sword at a press conference, and lost by 20 at home. This is what has happened since then. Iowa State broke Kansas State.
You know, when Jerome Tang was hired, I had this worry that he was going to be too much of a normie. That he was just going to be like a traditional coach. He's going to go
like
out
it.
There.
I kind of liked him.
You know, shake hands and go to the Lions Club and raise some good money and give some speeches and talk at some organizations and just, you know, be a good
Seemed
ambassador.
Like a good dude.
Just like a normie coach. And
dig
know,
into his faith, you know, strong,
you know,
strong
just
leadership,
a, just
like, big personality.
Something that a guy like me, as a Kansas fan, really can't do
anything. You can't make fun of it,
can't
right?
Can't do anything with.
And they were successful.
Right.
In the first season. Very highly successful.
Kind of worst case scenario.
Yeah, you were like, God, I kind of like the guy and they're successful
and we had such
no quirks.
Good fun
with
Bruce,
Weber. Yeah.
And so it was really a downer, but he is completely
back.
Redeemed himself.
We are back.
This is fun. Oh my goodness.
This is good, clean fun. There's nothing I could say. Like, I couldn't have drawn it up better. Like, what could have happened to just give me full on just content. That game that night was so much fun on Twitter. It was one of those moments like I'll remember it forever. All the gifts, all the Iowa State crowd, the Jim Carrey in the crowd guy who's doing the like wah wah thing to Jerome Tang, the Twizzler guy on the sideline who's just hanging Twizzlers out of his mouth, just smoking Twizzlers the whole game during the whole thing. Like nothing's going on. These people are yelling at each other. He's just getting Twizzlers on the scoring booth. Like it was everything was great. And I just,
a lot of characters behind the bench there. You know, you got Weatherwax going back deep. You got Jim Carrey guy, Twizzler guy. There's just a lot going on in Hilton Coliseum. We'll give them their credit. The problem I want to talk about with Jerome Tang just before we get out of here is that KU, the Jayhawks, play in Manhattan on Monday.
Yeah, it's coming
next
up.
Week. Jerome Tang's shot all his bullets. He can't
What's gonna
cry
happen next?
He can't cry wolf anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
He can't. He's kind of used it all. So any of this, any political capital he's used for weird accusations.
So
he can't really use it against
you. Then you're really becoming that guy.
Yeah,
it's just like you can't do it every game.
I'm here for it.
I will say one thing real quick. Bill Self at Iowa State the next game. They're doing the juicy wiggle or whatever. The police officer, the security guy, gets out and does it with them. Does the dance. And there's this video of Bill Self just laughing at him. And, like, Iowa State fan, I got multiple of them send this to me, like, this is the difference between Jerome Tang and Bill Self. He is here just, like, mucking it up with these guys in a close game that's highly competitive and wild, and we're going off from three, and he's just enjoying himself, like, having fun with the fans and, like, experiencing the experience. And Jerome Tang is losing his HD mind.
All right. This is what we needed. We just needed a good scandal.
Fun. So fun.
Love a good scandal.
Love a good scandal.
Love a good scandal. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about Houston.
Matt's
okay,
coming.
Matt's here. Matt is going to be here after the break. Matt Norlander from CBS. So stick around for that right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'd like to welcome in our guy Matt Norlander from CBS Sports. You can find him as the host of the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. And one of the, Andrew, you'll remember this, one of the OG guests to our podcast. And I think, Matt, you came on literally a decade ago. That's how long we've all been doing this. One of our favorite voices on the sport. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing well. I know it was a while back. There were a few. What's kind of cool is, like, there were definitely shows, and some hosts, I think, have gone by the wayside and shows have died off. But, like, from, like, 2010 to 2012, 2013, you know, there were different pockets of the country. And every so often, circle back around. And so for the folks that are still, like, doing, like, you guys, I appreciate you asking. I try and squeeze in a little bit of time. Never too big, never too busy to get reacquainted.
Well, I appreciate that. I know it's a massive day in college basketball, too. We got some great games on. We got one going on in here, too. I'm sure you got it on, too. The Kentucky game's close late. But really happy to have you on. First of all, I want to see, just kind of off the top here, obviously this is a KU show. We're going to talk about KU. But I want to see, just talk to me about what you think of the season so far. Give us the top storyline. What's jumping out to you about the season?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot here, to be honest. I'll just run through a few ones. The Big 12 depth and everything there. Purdue, which I tweeted about a half hour ago, Purdue beat Northwestern tonight, and Chris Collins had the best ejection of the entire season. If you have not yet seen the video, make sure you do that before you go to bed. But Purdue's got a huge bullseye, and it's continuing to do well. And it's, you know, it's going alongside the likes of UConn, who's the best team in the country. UConn, as we speak, is in a bit of a tussle with Providence there. So there's a lot of that. You mentioned Kentucky, them, Carolina, Duke. They've been a little bit up and down the past few years as, you know, the blue bloods there. Not been as consistent as Kansas, but now they're all, you know, back and relevant top 10 teams. We'll see if UK can hold off Florida here as we speak. But that's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's been a very entertaining, fun season so far. And I don't know if it's just the games we have this weekend, because it's an absolutely absurd slate. It's the best weekend of the regular season coming up. And what we've gotten in the past month, I feel like we are on the verge of having just an outrageously good February, even before we get to March. That's kind of a national scan on some of the things that have stood out most.
You know, we've got a big February for the Big 12. There's been some debate going on about how the Big 12 is viewed and whether the Big 12 is overrated. I think that's kind of been a controversy going back and forth. Where do you stand on that? Is the Big 12 as good as maybe the metrics say, or is there some gamesmanship going on?
Well, every metric agrees that the Big 12 is the best conference in the country, and I don't disagree with that at all. Some of this is born out of, and listen, this is a quick radio hit, so we don't have a ton of time to dive into this. I don't even know if I want to dive into it too deep, but some of this is born out of ACC fans having a lot of insecurity over the strength of their league, because it might only get 3 or 4 teams into the tournament. The Big 12 might get 10 teams into the tournament there. One thing I will go back to is, a criticism that has been lobbied toward the Big 12 was really the exception of Kansas and one or two other programs, is the non-conference scheduling was not impressive whatsoever. And so as a result of on balance, scheduling relatively easy non-cons and having a lot of bye games in there, the Big 12 was able to inflate its numbers by running up the score on some of these teams. I will say, like, if every team in conference collectively could do it, it would do it. So while I'm not going to dish out extra credit for the best Big 12 team beaten, you know, it's afterthought opponents there by 15, 20 points on average, you still have to do it. So I don't know, man. Like, if you follow the sport, talk to people around the sport, it's acknowledged that the Big 12 just has the most depth. And that's the other thing. It's top to bottom. Like, Oklahoma State's bad this year, undoubtedly. West Virginia's bad. But UCF, it's passable. And then everything after that, I mean, Kansas State might not make the tournament and it's going to win 20 games. I don't know. I'm in on the Big 12 as the best league in the country, and it kind of being number one with a little bit of space between if you want to go SEC or Big East after that.
So let's talk about the Jayhawks now. What's your take on this team so far? I think a lot of folks would say it's been up and down as a preseason number one, maybe down more than expectations. Curious where you would stack up the Jayhawks right now as we sit today, and then maybe look forward to how you forecasting their run this year.
Yeah, I tell you what, Kansas has definitely been down from expectation. Preseason number one. I did not buy Kansas as a preseason number one team in the country. One, because we hit a point yet again where I thought there was way too much groupthink. And I think it's because, you know, the season ends, you have your immediate top 25 polls, and you get some portal stuff. And now it's a good thing because it drives fan interest. But I just feel between, you know, 5, 10, 15 rankings updates we get across the internet from a variety of people, including my colleague Gary Parrish, we get to October and the preseason AP poll comes out, and I just don't think there's enough diversity of thought. I just thought Kansas wasn't an automatic, even with their coach and with the talent coming in, I just didn't think it was an automatic number one. I thought it was going to be a top 5 team, and yet, as you and your listeners do well know at this point, Kansas has not been that. The metrics do not say that at all. Right now, Kansas is number 13 in the net, number 9 in KPI, number 7 in strength of record. That's based off what it's done against its schedule. And then the predictive advanced metrics all have 15, 16, 18 in that range there. The lack of depth is a concern. This team has good defenders, and yet it's not top 10 defense just yet. It is playing in a tough league. Huge, huge game against Houston upcoming. I'm fascinated to see how Bill Self coaches with that. And if they get, you know, some more reliability. Like, there's a lot of good stuff there. There is. But can you have a reliable fifth starter? Is it going to be Furphy? Is Marco Jackson going to make any kind of freshman bump? I don't know. Timberlake has not been anything like what he was publicized to be. And I'm not even saying that's necessarily his fault. But I do think, and I've said this on the CBS podcast here, Self is an incredible coach. If you gave me any coach right now in the sport to start with, I would take him over everyone. I don't think he can overcome having no bench and win 6 games in the tournament. The metrics don't support it. I've seen this team get some good wins. It's competitive. Hell, he might get him to a Final Four because he's that good. But winning 6 versus winning 4 is a major gap, and I think Kansas fans should be satisfied this year in context with this conference, with a top-3 finish, with a 1, 2, or 3 seed next to the name, and getting to an Elite Eight. If those things are all checked off the box, don't fret about coming short of anything else, because I think with everything he's working with this year, that would be satisfactory.
You know, we got a big game this Saturday. You mentioned huge Saturday across the board. You've got Duke, North Carolina. And here in this area, we're looking forward to Houston coming to Lawrence for the first time as a member of the Big 12. Let's talk about a little about this game, this Houston game. We view it as probably one of the premier games on the schedule. We think the Fieldhouse is going to be, you know, pretty rocking. But, you know, give me your kind of prediction of how this game's going to go. Do you think the Jayhawks will be underdogs in this game? You know, a home dog does not happen a lot in Allen Fieldhouse, but Houston may be the team to do that.
That's a good question, because Houston has been the number one ranked team in most predictive metrics for 6-7 weeks now. I would think that the analytics would have Houston winning the game, but that might be different from us. Sometimes those lines get set based off of public reaction and what they're willing to bet. My guess is that when that gets released, I will guess that it's Houston -1, and so Houston will actually be a favorite in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Let's just see how that goes. It will be a really fascinating matchup, because Houston's defense right now is a joke, man. They are unlike anyone else in the sport, and there's some really high-end defenses, but there is no one other than Houston that plays like a connective organism than this group. And it's Jamal Shedd. What's crazy is, like, Juwan Roberts is probably the most team-savvy defensive player they have. Jamal Shedd's the best one-on-one defender. Emmanuel Sharp is coming to his own. Damian Dunn, Javier Francis, they have so many good defenders, man. And to see how Kansas schemes around that, what kind of game Dickinson's going to have. To me, this is a game where if McCullough can be good and good to go, it almost feels like him and then Dewan Harris playing one of the steadiest games of his career will be required for Kansas to get out with the win. But I'm not kidding, guys. Bill Self and Kelvin Sampson, that is 2 of the 5 best coaches in the game. And we have a loaded weekend, and it's not overlooked by me. Houston going to Kansas is as good as any matchup we have on the slate this weekend. I cannot wait.
Let me give you a little nugget that we've seen pop up. Actually, it came up in the UConn game last time around. Bill Self is 13-0 against top 10 matchups in Allen Fieldhouse when KU is the lower-ranked team. You might have seen this one already.
I remember this stat because it's an absolute joke of a stat, yeah.
It's a joke. I mean, there's a lot of joke stats out there for Bill Self, but that one jumped out at me as holy mother. Like, we'll see what happens. Obviously, all stats can be broken, but that one was pretty wild. We got to get out of here in just a minute here, but I got to know, as a fellow Guster lover, are you gonna go to this Lost and Gone Forever full album show, Red Rocks? Red Rocks?
You know,
I'd
love to do the Red
Nashville
love to do the Red Rocks show, because I've never seen a concert at Red Rocks. Now I visited Red Rocks last year. Oh boy, Florida just hit a 3 to tie the game with 3 seconds to go.
Oh,
all guys in real time.
Yes,
Rob Dillingham doesn't get the shot off. That is going to be overtime in Lexington, 84. All good.
You Lord. were 1 second ahead of me.
Was I? I'm on YouTube TV, so I thought I might be a slight delay there. Oh boy, boy, what a shot!
Wow.
That's Walter Clayton Jr., who played for Rick Pitino last year. Live radio, you got to love it. I will be seeing Guster this year. I will probably be seeing Guster multiple times. I don't know if I will be seeing them at Red Rocks because I live in Connecticut. However, they play in my home state of Connecticut, and they play in Boston the night of the Elite Eight.
Oh, boy. I plan
on being there, so I hope to get to a couple of Gusters.
Go down to the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. That's another fun one. All right, cool, man.
I can only wish.
It's great chatting with you, as always. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Go do your thing. I know you got a lot going on tonight. You got a fun overtime, another overtime here tonight. Just a wild night of hoops.
All right, folks. Enjoy this weekend. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Later, guys.
All right.
Yeah, that was Matt Norlander. We have some big guests coming up. We got Greg Gurley coming up in the second hour. We've got some preview. We're going to look at these next 10 games for the Jayhawks. We're going to look at some predictions. We're going to look at some KenPom. KenPom might be a dirty word, just as dirty as the HD word.
All right, we're
going to get into hour two of Jayhawk Talk Radio. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them to miss
me. Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio. HN Sports, Sports Radio 810. We are back. We got Drake playing because he's a Houston resident. Everyone knows this.
Is he a Cougar fan?
I don't know. Probably. If they're good. They're good, so probably.
Yeah. probably. That's the right answer.
It's probably. I think that's right.
We gotta get Drake to come to the field house.
That would be fun. We've had a few
switch jerseys at halftime.
A few rappers there, yeah. That's about what would happen. We're gonna preview the Houston game, so that's why we have a famed Houston acolyte. We got Drake on the bump in. We got number one in KenPom team coming to Allen Fieldhouse, Andrew. Of course, KenPom's a fraud, we all know that, but still number one in KenPom coming to Allen Fieldhouse. We heard from Matt Norlander that KU is probably going to be an underdog. I think that's right. I think KenPom has us as a 5-point underdog. I will bet you anything right now it will not be 5.
It will not be 5. And when that number comes out,
it'll be fun to watch.
I'm interested to know if it will actually be Houston favored.
Yes.
I think that there is a... You can have all the numbers you want, and then you can see Kansas Allen Fieldhouse home, and you know the public's going to grasp onto that. So where do you set it? There's some interesting bookmaking there. No matter what it is, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game. Maybe our biggest challenge of the year.
Yeah.
We face some big teams. We've got faced Tennessee, faced UConn at home.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. I mean, these are big-time games, but this might be our biggest matchup. And so here we are with the number one KenPom team. A win against Houston here puts you in contention, I think. Puts this team back at the front of the pack, or at least in striking distance to win the Big 12. A loss here, may be time to think about, you know, just getting this team ready for March. Obviously, you want to lose. It's a long February. It's a long season. But a win here really propels you into this meat of the schedule.
Well, for sure. I mean, Houston right now, 6-2, top of the league. With Texas Tech, 5-2, I think. Iowa State, 5-2. KU wins this game, they get right up there. I mean, 6-3. They are right back at the top or close to the top. To your point, they dropped to 5-4 with the loss.
It's tough.
And you're looking down. It's already the worst start in Bill Self history in the Big 12 at when it was 4-3. Now 5-3, I don't know. I'm not sure where that ranks, but still, you dropped to 5-4. That is start to get some alarm bells going off.
You
win this game,
right?
You're right back there. Is this a must win? Of course not, but it might be a must win if you want to win the Big 12.
Right. And this team, this Houston team, is beatable. They probably should have been beaten by Texas the other night. Took them to overtime.
It's a good game.
And Texas was unable to pull it out. Maybe there were some HD words shouted at them, some HD gestures that really threw them off.
The horns down?
No.
Oh, we can't say that?
You cannot say that.
That's right. You can't say horns
say
down.
That word, I mean, come on.
HD, sorry. My bad.
I hope you bleep that out.
My bad.
All right. So anyway, this team is beatable, but it's going to take a near-perfect game for us to come out on top. This team defensively, as Matt Norlander alluded to in the previous hour, is one of the better teams that college basketball has seen in terms of what they put on the floor defensively.
They are fun to watch. They remind me of a Bill Self team. Like you look down, like every possession is tough. Every possession is tough, and then they've got just dudes. Every rebound is theirs. Every single one. Right? It's just they are a pain in the HD to play against, and they are just it is kind of a fun, like, as a college basketball fan, a fun team to watch play. And they're not going to be fun to play, but it will be, you know, you got the fog, you got the students just absolutely going bonkers. It's going to be a huge matchup. We got, you know, daytime. It could be fun in Allen Fieldhouse, but, man, I'll be honest, I'm not feeling great about this game. The only thing I feel great about is Allen Fieldhouse and Bill Self. And that we generally win these games. I mean, like, that's history shows that KU will probably win this game if you're just relying on that. But this team, Houston's different, man. I think they're really good.
You know, the knock on them was that they were playing in the American, right? And so they had some success. They were a one seed a couple years ago. They were a really good four seed in the tournament. It was the last year. But, you know, they've been competitive. But they, when they were playing in the American, they had to get up for Memphis. And they had to get up for, you know, maybe somebody else who was good that year. That was it. The rest of their games were cupcakes, and their season really didn't begin until, and no one really took them seriously until the conference tournament and really into the NCAA tournament. But now they're in the big boy conference, and they may be the biggest boy in the big boy conference right now. This is time to give them a reminder of that this is the Big 12, that you've got to get up for every game. Road games are tough. Like I said before, this team is beatable.
They're beatable.
They've lost road games to TCU. They've lost road games to Iowa State.
Iowa State,
both,
yeah.
Both places tough to play, especially at Iowa State, as we learned on Saturday. So when you're looking at this roster, you look at a couple guys. I mean, Shed was mentioned by Matt Norlander as being a, you know, I think KenPom has him as KenPom Player of the Year in the Big 12. But also LJ Cryer, who we know, this is our old friend LJ Cryer from Baylor.
Yes.
When he announced he was entering the portal, a little shocking. You don't see a lot of guys leaving Baylor, especially guys of his caliber.
And then just go down the road.
And going down the road, intra-conference. My initial thought was, doesn't make a ton of sense. But right now, that makes a whole lot of sense. And this is not by accident. Kelvin Sampson's been around this game for a long time. Kelvin Sampson knows what he's doing, and he's put himself a squad together.
Yeah, I know a lot of people talk about Jamal Shedd as a Big 12 Player of the Year candidate. He is a little bit like a, it's going to sound bad, but like a more well-rounded Dwan Harris. I mean, he's a little guy. He's a heck of a defender. I mean, just a heck of a defender. He's pesky, drives you crazy. Honestly, like, his stats don't jump out, like, wildly at you. He's averaging something like, I don't know, what is it, like 13 points a game or something? I could have that wrong, but something like that. But
like a traditional Bill Self type of player,
yeah, exactly.
That's not everything that matters.
But the dude is an absolute winner. He's averaging 6 assists a game, and he is, like, the quintessential quarterback of that team on both ends of the court. And it's that thing that kind of ties it all together that just, I think he drives a lot of their success. And then they got just dogs. I mean, they just go get it. They just go get every, just watch them rebound the ball. That's the one thing I've watched in the Big 12. Like, they are relentless, and it is something that's, you know, you think of some old, like, West Virginia teams, maybe, that kind of jump out. Like, just trying to think of a comparison.
Cincinnati this year, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But just, but then they've got skilled offensive players.
So yeah, that's the difference.
It's a heck of a team. Obviously, Kelvin Sampson's a real deal. And I agree with Matt that, you know, probably two of the best five coaches in basketball right here.
How do we get through this? What do the Jayhawks need to do to win the game? Who needs to have a big game? What needs to happen?
Well, I think they got to take care of the ball. I mean, when we've had problems is when we've turned over the ball too much. That is number one. I think I agree with Matt that, that it would be nice to see Dwan have one of his best games of the season. When we've played well this season, Dwan's played well. Think of, like, I'm not even asking him to do what he did against Kentucky, but that's an example of where Dwan played amazing, especially on offense. But he needs to play well. He needs to set guys up. We need to see a good, solid, efficient game from Hunter and from Kevin, ideally. And Kevin can help on defense, which is going to be vital. And then I think we're going to have to make some shots. I mean, Johnny Furphy's going to have to shoot more than three times from three. I think I want to see him actually take the next step forward. Our bench is our bench, but it's going to be a tough game. I think the team that is able to match if we are able to match them defensively and match them in rebounding, I like our chances. If they come in and bully us, I don't like our chances at all.
Yeah, I think that bench gets shortened.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not sure Parker Brown plays much. I'm not sure Timberlake plays much. Yep. I'm not sure McDowell plays at all.
Yeah, no.
I think Hunter's playing 39 minutes. I think Dwan's playing 40 minutes. Kevin's got to play as much as he can.
The thing about this, though, they play Houston Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and then you get Sunday off. And then Monday you go to Bramlage. So, like, you can't. It's wild to think about, but man, you don't have a lot of time to recuperate between just another amazing fun game where KU should be favored. I wouldn't have said that, maybe a couple weeks ago, but should be favored and should be also just a wildly entertaining and physical tough game in Bramlage too.
Well, this is the time of the year. I mean, theoretically, the softer part of our schedule was in January. We've entered February. Yeah. It's the 31st today. We will be in February tomorrow, and that's when the rubber hits the road. I think we play 7 ranked teams to finish out the year in the Big 12.
It's wild.
If the Jayhawks are going to win the Big 12 this year, they will have earned it. There will be no weird scheduling that put them over the top. There will be no flukes. There will be nothing. If they were able to pull this off this year, it will be because they absolutely went through the ringer.
Yeah, it's just the Big 12's just bananas. You can't come up with anything else. It's just wild. But this game right here could be one of those program games, one of those culture games where KU, you look down on paper, and Allen Fieldhouse, KU's supposed to win this game. Just culture, that you looked at, KU's just supposed to win this game. And if that happens, you just kind of chalk it up to, it's Kansas. It's Allen Fieldhouse. Of course they're supposed to win.
Of course.
But if they lose, it's, first of all, it's not the end of the season. This is a great, great team. Like, top, Final Four caliber team. And it is not the end, but it will set us back for our chances to win the Big 12 for sure.
All right. We're going to keep talking Houston. We're going to keep talking K-State. We're going to keep talking Jayhawks with Greg Gurley coming up next right here on Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Land Down Under's playing. That must mean Johnny Furphy's going to have, I don't know, what?
Going to go for 30.
30? 30? I think he's going for 30 against Houston.
He's got it in.
That would help. All right, we're back. We wanted to welcome in our guy, Greg Gurley. You know him as the color commentator of Jayhawk Radio, and you also know him as former great. Can we call him a great? A great in the early 90, class of 95? Greg?
Yeah.
Thank you. Got it. Greg. Good to see you, Greg.
Former great is a massive stretch.
Hey, you know what? Time has, like fine wine, you can just keep telling stories that it just gets better.
And the kids these days won't remember. If you say it enough, they'll just think of it that way.
That's fair. I'll take that for sure.
Welcome in, man. First of all, thanks for joining us on a little later night, on a Wednesday night. Had a fun game in Allen Fieldhouse last night, and really just wanted to wrap with you for a few minutes about kind of the state of the union here for the Hawks. It is we just got done talking to Matt Norlander, CBS Sports, who I think said something to the effect of it has been a disappointment relative to expectations so far, and of course nothing but disappointment when you come in as preseason number one. But where do you stand right now on the state of the union for the Hawks?
the record doesn't necessarily surprise me. Who we lost to kind of does. What are we, 16? Are we 16 or 17 before? I should probably know this, right?
You're 17 now.
Yeah, after I said we're 74.
74.
So that is kind of where I thought we'd be. Now, I didn't foresee us losing to Central Florida or West Virginia. So, again, the record, I'm kind of like, okay, that I'll take that. But the way and where we're at and the losses that we had early in the Big 12 season that I wouldn't have expected, because I thought those were kind of our quote-unquote gimmies that they've been in the past. But we've learned there are no gimmies in this conference, and we've proven that out. That's the easiest part of our six-game. You know, look at a season in thirds. First six games, you know, we lose a couple, and that's just not like us. And that's how you win a Big 12 title. You win the ones you're supposed to, and you defend your home court. So far, we haven't won the ones we're supposed to. And things are going to get progressively tougher. And that starts on Saturday against Houston.
So we've got 10 games left in this Big 12 season. Seven are against teams that are ranked, currently ranked. Does this team have another gear to get through that part of the schedule? And if that gear is going to be reached, where's it going to come from? Who's going to step up?
Well, I'd go back and look at, you know, how we lost. You know, we ran into a buzzsaw against West Virginia. We ran into another buzzsaw against Iowa State. They shot the ball incredibly well. Do we have another gear? I don't know if we do. I just think we need to play better defensively. I don't think, like, one guy is going to step up and just carry us to the promised land. I think we got to play better defense as a team. We got to have some luck. You know, you have a 6-11 West Virginia team make 9 of their first 11 threes. We score 51 points in the first half, and we're tied. That never happens. So part of it is we're the Yankees, we're the Cowboys or whatever. We get everybody's best shot. That's proven out over the years. You know, the only ones we didn't get their best shot from was Oklahoma State, and we swept them. And so do we have another gear? I don't know if we really do. Again, it's not another guy. It's just going to be done by committee, in my opinion.
What's been your, if you had to pinpoint one, what's the biggest surprise this season for you on this team?
Oh, I'd say the biggest on the positive side, I don't think it's as much of a surprise, but I love the maturation of Johnny Furphy. And then I think on my semi-disappointment is just El Marco. You know, we look at McDonald's All-Americans as guys that are supposed to come in right away and do things. I still think El Marco is going to be a really valuable piece to this team. We saw that last night, what he can actually do when he plays with a free mind. He doesn't think, he just goes. So I think he can, I'm not using the word disappointment by any means, but I think we can get a lot more out of El Marco, and that just only helps everybody, because somebody off the bench like El Marco can be a spark. We'll get us to that next level.
Let's talk about this game this weekend against Houston. Houston, new to the Big 12, but not necessarily new to elite college basketball. Come into the Big 12, they've lost a couple on the road, but they've so far been the class of the conference. Winning this game on Saturday does a lot for the Jayhawks' case. You know, kind of handicap what you think this game is and what the Jayhawks need to do to win.
Well, number one, if we have any intention of winning the league, we have to win on Saturday. It's a must win. We have three losses. You have to defend your home court, and you have to defend it against a team that's right there at the top of the league. They've been the type of team Kelvin Sampson does an amazing job year in and year out with different guys, and they're never like superstars. He just has a bunch of guys that are tough that you would not want to meet in a bar at 1 o'clock in the morning when things go bad. Like, they got dudes, they got men, and it's going to be difficult for us because they've got some depth. They got plenty of fouls to give. They don't mind hitting you, pushing you, clawing. And that's a good thing, I think. You know, but we've got to be careful because we need certain guys on the floor at all times to beat them. They've shown the ability to get beat. They lost their first two games, and they reeled off six straight. I love Jamal Shedd. Right now, I don't know. You know, we talk about Kevin, we talk about Hunter. But right now, it's if you look at player of the year in the conference, I'd look at Jamal Shedd. That guy reminds me of Sherron Collins, Frank Mason, just a hard nose, tough. He gets you buckets when you need him. I mean, he's the guy to really watch for me. Then they got like four or five Jamari trailers in the middle that just go and
scary.
Do the dirty work. You know, that's the way Kelvin coaches. It's the way he recruits. And, hey, it's going to be a great atmosphere in the fog on Saturday. So these are the type of games you love to be a part of.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. I just got kind of an interesting one for you. You've been around now to all the Big 12 schools and some of the new ones. What's your favorite place to go to and call a game? What's your favorite away stadium or place to be?
Well, it's a two-part question. If you look at social Greg Gurley, I would say I love going to Austin, Texas. If you talk about, you know, restaurants, bars, things to do socially, okay, that's what I would say. Now, that's going to be gone. If you talk to arena, I always have enjoyed Gallagher Iba. I'm a traditionalist. That was the most difficult place to play when I was playing. It only seated 6,000 people, and it was the second loudest in the Big Eight right after Allen Fieldhouse. It's lost some of its luster simply because of their performance on the court. So I'd go Gallagher Iba when it's really rolling. I'd go Austin as a city. I'll go with those two.
What about the new ones? Anyone you're looking forward to? You looking forward to go to Provo? Looking forward to
Social, you know, Greg.
Social
Greg excited to get out to Provo?
Social drinking Greg, not so much. Utah state laws, bars, probably not my cup
There's
of tea.
A couple.
But, you know, we went there, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago. We played in Salt Lake and got boat raced by Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was not an enjoyable trip. Very beautiful city. Loved Park City. Again, this has turned into more of like a trip advisor type Greg Gurley. You know, I love Arizona. I absolutely love going down there. I'm going down there next week for the
I'll be there too.
And you know, so Tucson and Tempe will be great. I'm really looking forward to Tucson because Arizona is up there, and the, you know, so been so good over the years, and going to the McHale Center I think will be cool. So I mean we're so fortunate to be a part of the Big 12 and the new Big 12. You know, you hate to see Texas and Oklahoma go away, but when you know I'm looking forward to going to Cincinnati. I mean, they're, you know, Central Florida, I enjoyed their arena. I didn't enjoy the outcome, but you know, it was 10,000 people. It was packed. It was just it was cool. I walked to the game from the hotel. The weather was great. So just new experiences. I'm all for it.
Give us, as we close out here, we've had Brian Haney on our show, podcast, radio, whatever it is, at least a dozen times probably over the years. We've known Brian since I was like 10 years old. Give us your favorite Brian Haney story or some story you two getting in trouble out in the road. What's a Brian story we need to...
Brian seems like a troublemaker guy on the road.
He can't be. Yeah. I can see that.
I'd say we are kind of the polar opposite. like, you talk about Greg Gurley is the most unprepared guy in the broadcasting world, working with the most prepared guy in Brian Haney.
That sounds
it
about right.
It works. I, you know, not to toot my own horn, I'm pretty good at just off the cuff. My enormous head has a lot of useless knowledge or useful knowledge, and I can kind of roll with it. Brian is more of the not scripted, but so your question was best Brian Haney story.
Just give us an anecdote. Maybe it's during a game, something happened, made you laugh, something to be kind
of. You know, he always he grabs me a lot, like when somebody makes a big shot.
I've noticed that.
He always kind of like grabs my bicep or my shoulder and kind of not really like a hug, but like just which shows you how passionate we
He's
are
into it. Yeah.
As broadcasters. We're into it. We're fans. Like we, you know, selfishly, it's so much more enjoyable on that plane ride home after a win than it is a loss, obviously.
Absolutely.
So we're Jayhawks. We're rooting, you know, it is what it is. So, But I don't have like a good, I don't know. I mean, I make fun of Brian a lot. Brian makes fun of me. We have a good back and forth. I probably make fun of him more in a fun, playful way. Some things aren't probably meant for the radio.
We'll let you off the hook.
You think about the amount of time that we spend together, whether it's in the car driving to Ames last weekend or, you know, the two of our trips this year so far, we've had to leave a day early. So we had an extra day in Orlando. We had an extra day in Morgantown, West Virginia. So there's a lot of sitting around hotel lobbies and going to dinner and just basically killing time. So you get to know a person extremely well and almost too well. Sometimes you kind of need your space. I'm sure he gets tired of my motor mouth and vice versa. So it's a great fit. And Steve Kincaid, as I call him, our sound guy, I'm sure it's a different title for it in the broadcasting world, but we have a really good group and it's just fun. I look forward to traveling.
Awesome, great. Greg. Well, before we get out of here, one, tell me Kevin McCullough is going to be okay for Saturday, and then give us a key matchup. Is this going to work out okay for us on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd say Kevin McCullough. I think the sentiment that I got from Bill and Kevin was if that was March 20th, Kevin would have played.
Okay.
And so this was truly a precaution. Get him a couple extra days. It's a bone bruise. He just needs time, and that's we deal with this all the time with injuries. The one thing you need is time, and the one thing you don't have is time unless you create it. So that's what they did last night. Got a Saturday, Monday, Houston, and then at K-State.
Ooh.
Games you really want them for, obviously. You want them for all of them, but if you had to give one up, last night made a lot of sense. So I think you'll see him on Saturday full speed ahead. The big matchup for me, you already heard me talk about my love for Shed, and I think that's going to be one that, the way we guard, Bill's never about, like, DeJuan Harris on Shed. It's going to be all five guys switching everything. Who's gonna step up at the end of the shot clock and defend him and limit him from making big plays? And that's going to be, to me, he's been the big difference maker for Houston in the limited times that I've watched them play.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be a big piece of the game. How we're able to control him and hopefully keep him from controlling his team, because he's the quarterback out there for sure. Let's get out of here though. But we really really appreciate you coming on, man. Have a great call on Saturday. Hopefully it's a ton of fun there in the field house. I think the environment's going to be pretty wild. So get some rest, get out there, and then make sure you help us get a little dub in Bramlage too. And keep the coaching staff from causing any more turmoil over there against K-State, would you? We don't need any more cheating scandals in the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm tired of that stuff. It's so much drama up there. I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Just stay all out of that, Greg. Don't touch it.
And the best man wins. Pat him on the butt. Let's move on.
Let's go. Let's play some ball.
It's getting exhausting every time. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting, it's all, no matter, they've lost 3 straight, 4 straight, 1, 9 straight, doesn't matter. That is always a... I mentioned Gallagher, Iowa, but when we show up to Bramlage, 2 hours before tip, there's 9,000 students there telling us that they that we're fat.
Giving you good tidings, yeah.
Oh, yeah, your mom sucks. Yeah, whatever. Anything goes, and so I enjoy that stuff.
Oh, it's great.
It's going to be fun, Saturday, Monday flip.
Can't wait. Well, have some good calls. We look forward to hearing you, and have fun in Phoenix, too. Maybe I'll see you out there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, right. Guys.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, that was Greg Gurley from Jayhawk Network. You hear him on with Brian Haney doing the color. So we're going to talk about this Houston game a little bit more. We're going to talk about K-State. We're going to talk about the rest of the schedule. And then we're going to really get into the ethics and the professionalism of the HD word before we get out of here, before we close up shop.
Don't say HD on the radio.
You can say HD, though.
You
right?
can say HD on the radio.
I still feel uncomfortable about it. Anyway, we're going to get into all that right here on Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio. I'm Kevin Meckley, joined by Andrew Payne. We got Kyle behind the glass, keeping us honest. Andrew, you've mentioned it a couple times during the show, but it's a tough schedule coming up for
man.
The Hawks.
It's going to be
schedule.
A brutal February.
I can't remember, and I know we sort of say some of this every year, but this one feels even more true, a tougher stretch we've ever had. Like, in terms of every night is a dogfight, every single night. And then you add on that, not only is it a dogfight against tough teams, but it's tough teams that are literally all tournament teams. Like, we are literally playing a 3 seed, a 1 seed, a 4 seed, a 2 seed, a 7 seed, a 9 seed, a 4 seed, a 3. Like, that is what we're playing the rest of the season. It is not like you're not getting these 14 seeds or guys that are out of tournament. We are playing that caliber of team basically every game the rest of the season.
We'll be ready for March.
You'd think.
Let me tell you a couple things. So I've said this before, you know, but here's a way to really get into it. We have 10 games left in the Big 12 schedule, okay? 7 of those are against teams that are currently ranked. Okay. You think to yourself, okay, well, at least there's 3 teams who aren't. Let me tell you who those 3 teams are.
Okay.
At K-State.
Oh, great.
K-State home, and then Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, that's your break.
I think Texas is pretty good, too.
Texas at home, or Texas in Allen Fieldhouse. So that's your break. Those are your, like, oh, we don't have to play a ranked team this game. Oh, it's K-State at Bramlage.
Wow.
Or K-State's coming into Allen Fieldhouse. Or the Longhorns are coming in for their very last time coming into Allen Fieldhouse. There you go. There's your break.
There's your break.
You may be right. This may be from a analytical standpoint, from a ranking standpoint, the hardest 10 stretch or 10 game schedule that we've had as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Houston is a 1 seed right now. And then
at K-State,
bubble team.
They could get in if the Big 12 gets, you know, a bunch of teams in. K-State could sneak in. You know, they were leading the Big 12 just a week ago. And so who knows what's going to happen there. Certainly a win against Kansas would put them in more contention. Then we have Baylor at home. Baylor's ranked 18th.
And they are a projected 5 seed right now under bracketology on ESPN.
All right, you can go through these. Then we at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is a projected 7 seed, which feels like a little bit of a slight to the Red Raiders.
At OU, this is going to Norman for the last time.
And that is a good one. Oklahoma is a 6 seed, so here we are, more single digits.
Texas. Is Texas currently
in? I think Texas
is a
10 seed in Salt Lake. Yeah,
my
10
goodness.
Seed.
And then we have BYU home.
Ooh, BYU. Good radio. They're a 5 seed.
My goodness.
All
right.
Silly.
And then we go. We have at Baylor.
Again, a 5 seed.
K-State at home.
Bubble team.
And then a 1 seed
in Houston. 1 seed. Yeah.
Wow.
How about it? That's a tough bracket.
Yeah.
to go through. That was a tough bracket. It's just wild to think about it in that context, because that's probably an appropriate context to think about. It is not, you're not getting bye games. You're not even getting close to bye games. You're not even getting, you're getting basically round 3. You're getting Sweet 16 games.
And Elite Eight games.
Every single night.
Yep.
Like that caliber, like, wow. And even Texas, who may not even, like, they're a 10 seed right now, and they got to win some games. They may miss the tournament. I don't think they will, but they could. And they alone could be, like, would you say 3 times out of 10 they could beat, like, a UConn?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, my God, we have this lineup that's just it's murderer's row. It's wild. And it is, it's what we got in front of us, though. Everyone's got to do it. We're not alone. Everyone's got to do it. I know there's the mismatched schedule this year, which kind of sucks, that losing the round robin. I love to get Iowa State back in Allen Fieldhouse. That sucks.
That is bad.
That sucks.
Yeah, the back-to-back, I mean, the home-and-home is so fun for that, because you always have the return game, and it's usually back and forth. It's usually like win at home and home, and occasionally one will win on the other one. But that for that rivalry, We had that for K-State.
But at least we got K-State
twice. It's almost important with the Cyclones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple things that we need to get through is, you know, we have this schedule, but this is what we wanted, right? This is what Brett Yormark put together, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be crazier next year. Think about that. You got Arizona coming in. You got Utah BYU.
Colorado's a tournament team.
Got Boyle out there. Yeah, it is. It is super cool. Obviously, right. as a Big 12 fan, to every night turn on TV or ESPN Plus, whatever you have, and watch just insanely high level basketball. You're basically every night watching a Sweet 16 game in the Big 12, and that is awesome. I mean, it's just every night is great TV.
Let me walk you through how KenPom. Fraud. Has this shaking out? He has Kansas as tied for sixth finishing in this league. That means we'd play a day early in the Big 12 tournament. Yeah, but this has Houston winning with a 14-4 record.
No chance.
Iowa State finishing second with a 12-6 record. Texas Tech, TCU, BYU tied for third with an 11-7. Then Baylor and KU. Baylor and KU, the class of this conference for years,
goes to 10-8.
Tied for sixth at 10-8.
I will right now very comfortably say we're going to win more than 10 Big 12 games.
That means we'd be 5-5 the rest of the way.
The rest of the way. And KenPom right now has, just if you look at single game, which is not an appropriate way to gauge KenPom, because he, you know, whatever, it's up. You play all the games. But on a single game by game, he has a, 5-5, I'm pretty sure. Losing to Houston, losing at Tech, losing at Oklahoma, losing at Baylor, and losing at Houston by 11 points.
Wow.
He's got that. Yeah, 11. Okay. He's a fraud. He's a fraud, first of all, but still, 5-5. Right now, Andrew, I'd be curious. As we sit today, 17-4, what is your, what if you're in your heart, in your brain, I want to hear both sides. What do you think KU's record is going to be in that next 10 games? Let's just take the 10 games. Don't worry about anything that's happened before. It's 10 games.
That's tough. I would say 7-3 or 6-4. I think that's overly optimistic.
Would you take 6-4 right now if I asked?
That means it's 11-7. Would I take it?
That's probably a 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah. That's probably a two or three seasons.
Unless they just run the table in the Big 12 tournament, maybe you get up to two.
Maybe. I mean, I think your resume, you've still got to win against UConn, Kentucky. Theoretically, you win against Houston if you can pull off one of those.
Yep.
Resume looks good. I mean, I think
these are all Q1 games, first of all.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a zillion Q1
games. You know, I think that, yeah, is having a one seed absolutely like necessary in this tournament? You see a team like UConn last year who had just like a terrible January. But everybody knew they were a juggernaut. They finished fourth in their conference, but going into the tournament, they were ready to roll. And there could be a lot of teams like that this year, who, especially in the Big 12, who are going to be ready to roll in the tournament. So I think KU could be. I think they have a shot to win the conference, but getting ready for March is going to be a big important thing. And this 10 game, if you can't handle this 10 game schedule, you're not going to make it through March.
Well, in the case where you said 7-3, that'd mean you have six losses in the Big 12. We did say last show, or maybe I said, that I thought there's a chance first place gets a share with six losses. Five losses, I think you win.
You know, that would help if we would win on Saturday. If the Jayhawks would win on Saturday,
8-2 the rest of the way, which feels real tough. But I mean, I know people are saying like you got to win this next game to have a chance to win the Big 12. I think that's right, and I think it's actually, it's scary to think about it, but you got to somehow go steal several to get to 8-2
on the road.
I mean, you got to steal several.
It's Houston,
good teams,
and then it's at Bramlage. That's where it starts.
It's wild if you think about it, man. You're starting to put the numbers together. The three losses that just killed you to lose to
West Virginia. If those weren't on the ledger, this would be a much different conversation.
Much different.
All right, Kevin, we have one more segment. We need to wrap this up and really get a PSA out to our listeners here about the dangers of doing the HD gesture.
Horns down.
Don't say.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're going to get kicked off the air.
Sorry.
And saying the HD word especially heinous. We're going to wrap up with that and wrap up with some final thoughts before we head into what are a couple brutal games, and that's right here on Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in. Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Jayhawk Talk Radio. I'm Kevin Meckley, Andrew Payne. We got Kyle playing All My Exes Live in Texas for us.
Texas is about to be our ex.
That's a good point. That's a great point. I didn't even put that together. We had a game, what was it, Saturday? Texas BYU. And the fine folks in Provo, the students there.
Which, they're crazy.
They're crazy. It's a
pretty good student section.
It's a great, great atmosphere. Front row, these kids probably, you know, camped out or got some version to get to the front row. Had shirts, or was it painted on their chest?
Shirts,
right? Because they don't paint their chest. so shirts that said horns down. Excuse me. Is that a bad word? I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah.
Is that a bad word? Horns. HD. HD. Make sure you blur all these. Thank you. Yeah.
Just we don't want to get in trouble.
We don't want to get in trouble. FCC stuff. I mean, when you say horns down on the radio. Oh, where are we? Okay. Just making sure. Horns down on the radio. You got to be careful. So what happened was these kids have these shirts, and they were apparently told by BYU, you got to take the shirts off. Because, you know, bad word.
It's a bad word.
Bad word. Horns down.
It's incredibly offensive.
It's extremely offensive.
Classless.
How dare they?
Terrible etiquette.
And, you know, I don't know about you, Andrew, but it offended my sensibilities that the BYU folks would even consider saying such a heinous thing.
This isn't even the first time this year that they've been subject to this horrendous, vile slur.
How dare they?
UCF? Similar deal. You know, their coach went after the UCF fans, UCF players.
Correct.
This is a couple weeks ago. So they're just, they're victims.
I didn't know this until this year, until like 3 or 4 weeks ago, that HD was such a bad word. But clearly, I mean, it resonates. It is a terrible thing to say to somebody.
There are 8 words that you can't say on the radio. And the worst one of all. Is the HD word.
Don't say the HD word. Don't say HD on the radio. That's all I know. Like I've learned that this year. So I look forward to when we play BYU, like we need to remind them that as good standing members of the Big 12, yeah, we can't do those things.
We have more class.
Can't do that. And when we play Texas, obviously we will say something completely different. We will not say anything that has to do with HD. We'll do something else.
Yeah, there was children in the building.
There were children in the building.
That's not how we operate.
That's
here.
It's not. Brett Yormark does not allow that.
No.
Andrew,
all right,
let's
everybody.
Get out of here.
Hey, Houston, Saturday, K-State, Monday. It's never been a better time to be a Jayhawk fan, Jayhawk basketball fan, Jayhawk football fan. Some football school, Kevin.
It's a football school and a basketball school, Andrew. Thank you for listening, everybody. Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. 2 massive games this week. Let's go get them. We will be back after the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl. So go Chiefs. Go Jayhawks. Rock Chalk. Never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in.